Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this fourth day of October 2019. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are going to be reading chapter 13 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. Let me see here. So it's actually just midnight right now, so I didn't want to, there we go. So I didn't want to lose my, my time, for doing a radio show, and I didn't really have time to do it earlier. I am up in the mountains right now near Schofield, Utah, which is, close to the mine that I get coal out of. So I'm just trying to see if I can get this the studio up and running here. Obviously, I am recording not live at this point, but I will be trying to put this on YouTube and Facebook later on today. I should have just held off on this for a minute here, but let me just get the studio up and running so I can take phone calls. I'm actually surprised I have enough service for internet broadcasting up here, so I'm pretty happy about that. I'll have to deal with it later. I should have done this later. All right. So we're going to just be continuing on with chapter 13 of The Church and the Gospel. And this is not a topic that I like to cover, but I will read everything when I get into a book. I'm not going to skip something because it's a difficult topic for me to cover. But this one is titled Blacks in the Priesthood, Chapter 13 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. So let me just get right into the reading. The preexistence, an individual's right to bear the priesthood in this life, was determined by experiences that occurred in the preexistence. According to Joseph Smith, quote, every man who has a calling to minister to the inhabitants of the world was ordained to that very purpose in the grand council of heaven before this world was. I suppose that I was ordained to this very office in that grand council. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 365. God told Abraham that he was among those that were appointed to be rulers, and that he was chosen from before thou wast born. Abraham chapter 3, verse 23. Other spirits were given certain appointments, gifts, and callings, but not necessarily pertaining to the priesthood, as they did not qualify there in the preexistence. Neither do they qualify here. And even among those that were given that, who were given that responsibility, only relatively few prove faithful and truly magnify that priesthood. The expression is often here that all people are created equal, but they are not born equal. There is no equality in their environment, in their intellect, attitudes, behaviors, looks, likes, and dislikes, fingerprints, or even voice. Indeed, the very character of every person is unique. Belief in a pre-existent state is the only justifiable explanation for mortals to be born under such unequal and unfair conditions. The Apostle Mark E. Peterson gave the following pertinent information concerning the doctrine of preexistence. Quote, and their reason then why the type of birth we receive in this life is not a reflection of our worthiness or lack of it in the preexistent life. Can we account in any other way for the birth of some of the children of God in darkest Africa or in flood-ridden China or among the starving hordes of India? While some of the rest of us are born here in the United States, we cannot escape the conclusion that because of our performance in our pre-existence, some of us are born as Chinese, some as Japanese, some as Indians, some as Negroes, some as Americans, some as Latter-day Saints. These are rewards and punishments fully in harmony with this established policy in dealing with sinners and saints according to their deeds. End quote. Race problems as they affect the church, an address in Convention of Religious Teachers at BYU, given by Mark E. Peterson, August 27th, 1954. What I was shown in one of the visions that I received when asking certain questions is that we are all put where we need to be for the best growth that we can have in mortality. That each of us are at different levels of progression. This is not really understood unless you really understand that of multiple mortal probations from world to world. And I'm not talking about reincarnation. I'm talking about what I was shown is that at the end of this world will become a sea of glass, a celestial sphere, and that a new heaven, this earth will become part of the Shamayim, the heavens, and that the a new earth will be created. We will have the opportunity to put off our celestial, or not our celestial, well, even that, our resurrected bodies, unless we're exalted, and that we are given the opportunity to go on to another earth with another plan of salvation and then the whole deal. So let me see here. I just disconnected for some reason. If I can get this to connect again. And I don't know why I disconnected. I have a teleprompter, which is basically my keyboard. And for some reason it decided it wanted to disconnect for no reason at all. Let me see if I can fix this real quick. I might have to redo the whole thing here. Well, I guess I'll just turn it off and turn it back on, and maybe it'll connect. Like, I'm trying so hard to figure out how to do these radio shows when I have time to do them and still try to make as much money as I can in order to come up with the money that I need in order to move into the new home that we're about to move into. I have to make sure that we have another $3,000, and I am working as hard as I can, but we also have this baby that needs to be taken care of and a four-year-old, and my wife works as an elementary school teacher, and I work as a truck driver. And so that's why I come to you at all different times of the day, different hours. It just depends on what's going on in my life where I can, you know, get the radio, produce a radio show or a podcast or a video. Over the last 3 days, my wife has had, I don't know what they're called. It's like a parent-teacher conference, but it's not. Anyway, but she had to stay at school till 8 o'clock at night, and she wanted her baby that is 3 months old to be there after she was, you know, done with school so that she could see him and feed him and so that she could so and asked me to help her so that she could do what she needed to do. And then today we had a doctor's appointment for the baby and for the 4-year-old. And so, like right now, I'm on my last load, and I thought, well, I'll stop. And I got here right at midnight, and I put the schedule back to 11:30. So, but it allowed me to do the radio program tonight and not lose out on this airtime, since I kind of backdated it or whatever. So, and I'll do another one tomorrow too if I can get the time. But anyway, there goes my old co-driver, Randy. I got my CB radio off, so he's probably like, hey, what's going on? Well, anyway, so that's why things are the way that they are. Luckily, I have received a little bit of help from a man in Fontana, where I've been able to purchase a few things that are not really that expensive. It's just that we don't have a lot of money, and we are really, really striving to hit this goal so that we can get into this home on this this property. It's got 10 acres, 26 shares of water, water wheels, hay in the field. It's a dream come true for me and my wife. And it's going to work out. but I'm, you know, trying to work hard. And then, of course, once we get into the place, there's so many things that we've got to do that I'm going to have to work hard for the rest of my life just trying to figure it out. But I do want to do this radio show. So anyway, I'm sorry about the tangents. I'll get back to the reading. With the gospel's restoration to the earth, there came a more clear understanding of the purpose of mortality, but more importantly, the reason why God wanted to segregate or gather his people, Israel, from other nations. The gospel also revealed the purpose of natural barriers among people, such as languages and race, and explains the reason why God bestowed the patriarchal rights of the priesthood through the lineage of Israel. See, if you're just a Gentile, well, this is my opinion, okay? If God doesn't give me revelation that you should receive the priesthood, I don't care what sex you are, I don't care what race you are, I don't care where you come from. God don't want you to have it, and if he doesn't let me know that he wants you to have it, then I don't give it to people just willy-nilly. Now, if God has commands me to give priesthood to somebody, I will give it to somebody. Take, for instance, a couple of years ago in 2015, I received a revelation which surprised me and my wife, where I was told to give her matriarchal priesthood. Now, in 2003, the Father laid his physical hands on my head and gave me authority to do what he asked me to do later on, and gave me a lot of authority for different things. But he gave me authority to restore matriarchal priesthood, and he commanded me to give that to my wife and ordain her a queen and a priestess in Israel. And so I did. And my wife has matriarchal priesthood. Didn't know that was going to be a thing, but it is. So the way my viewpoint is, it doesn't matter who it is that it doesn't matter what race or anything for priesthood. It only matters that God gives me revelation that you should have it. If it's coming out of my authority, that's it. I'm reminded that Ham and Egyptus had 4 sons. Ham was cursed to be a servant of servants. You can find that in, at least partly, in the book of Genesis chapter 9. But according to extra-biblical tradition, the other sons of Ham, who were also black, wanted to stay as far away from him as possible, Canaan, because they didn't want their posterity to be cursed with the same cursings that he was cursed with. So it's a troubling thing to me. I don't like the whole racial aspect of any of this. But God does place us in certain races and certain times and certain bloodlines by his authority, according to where we need to be to progress the best that he needs us to progress in each mortal probation from world to world. So anyway, continuing on with the reading, as previously mentioned, we believe in the gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes of Israel, 10th article of faith written by Joseph Smith. The question might be asked, why not gather outside beside the house of Israel? God segregated Israel as his choice people and his servants to bear the burden of the holy priesthood. And let's remember that the only people who were allowed to have Levitical priesthood were Levites. It didn't matter if you were Jewish or if you were from the tribe of Benjamin or what. If you didn't have the right lineage to receive priesthood, to receive Levitical priesthood, you were not getting it within the tribes of Israel. Now, we know that Moses went to, I can't remember what his name is, who was a priest of Midian. It was his father-in-law. And I know some of you are like telling me mentally, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, but we know that there was priesthood outside of Moses and Israel among the priests of Midian, where Moses got his priesthood from, his father-in-law. I keep on wanting to say Japheth, and I know it's not Japheth. It doesn't matter. Anyway, but we know that there's different types of priesthood as well. Aaronic, Levitical, Melchizedek, patriarchal, matriarchal. So, and also all the way up to the fullness of the priesthood that only God the Father can give to his servants on the earth. Anyway, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, or Jehovah our Elohim, and Jehovah our Elohim hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy, or Devarim, chapter 7, verse 6. Here Moses is talking to the Israelites whom he had led out of Egypt, or Mitzrayim. The history of their trials, temptations, wanderings, triumphs, failures, and also their dispersions and final gathering is clearly portrayed in the words of the prophets. The seed of Cain. Enoch was a man endowed with the power of Jehovah, or Elohim, or the power of God, for we read that he could speak the word of the Lord, or the word of Jehovah, and the earth trembled, and he could turn rivers to water out of their course, or make the mountains fall before him. Yet when he preached the word of the Lord, Jehovah, he went forth among all the people, save it were the people of Canaan. Enoch saw that the people were a mixture of all the seeds of Adam, save it were the seed of Canaan, or seed of Cain. And the seed of Cain were black and had not place among them. Those who were less valiant in the priesthood and who thereby had certain spiritual restrictions imposed upon them during mortality are known to us as the Negroes. Such spirits are sent to earth through the lineage of Cain, the mark put upon him for his rebellion against God. Mormon Doctrine, according to Bruce R. McConkie, pages 476 and 477. So this book, Mormon Doctrine, I think it was written back in the 70s. That was the view of the LDS Church back then. They still have certain views about race and the priesthood, which are on their website. So anyway, we're on page 201. For those of you who are following along, once again, you can find this to read for free at Mormon fundamentallymormon.com, which is my blog website, and I will post this text there for anybody to read for themselves for free. Anyway, so we're on page 201. You can also find this at ogdenkraut.com. Continuing, when he placed the mark upon Cain, he engaged in segregation. When he told Enoch not to preach the gospel to the descendants of Cain who were black, the Lord engaged in segregation. When he cursed the descendants of Cain as to the priesthood, he engaged in segregation. When he forbade intermarriage, as he does in Deuteronomy 7th chapter, he established segregation. The Lord segregated the people both as to blood and place of residence. At least in the cases of the Lamanites and the Negroes, we have the definite word of the Lord himself that he placed a dark skin on them as a curse and a punishment as assigned to all others. He forbade intermarriage with them under the threat of extension of the curse being extended upon them. 2 Nephi chapter 5 verse 21. He certainly segregated the descendants of Cain, and when he cursed the Negro as to the priesthood and drew an absolute line, you may even say he dropped an iron curtain there. The Negro was cursed as to the priesthood and therefore was cursed as to the blessings of the priesthood. Certainly God made a segregation there. End quote. And that was a talk given by Mark E. Peterson called Race Problems, BYU 1954. Abraham talks of Pharaoh, who was probably one of the most righteous descendants of Ham, the son of Noah. He established a very righteous government, but had certain restrictions placed upon him. Quote, now the first government of Egypt was established by Pharaoh, the eldest son of Egyptus, and the daughter of Ham. I thought Egyptus was Ham's wife. Okay, well, I guess I thought wrong. I'll have to look that up. Anyway, and it was after the manner of the government of Ham, which was patriarchal. Pharaoh, being a righteous man, established his kingdom and judged his people wisely and justly all his days, seeking earnestly to intimate the order established by the fathers as are in the first generations, in the days of the first patriarchal reign, even the reign of Adam, and also of Noah, his father, who blessed him with the blessings of the earth and with the blessings of wisdom, but cursed him as pertaining to the priesthood. Page 202. Now Pharaoh, being of that lineage by which he could not have the right of priesthood, notwithstanding the Pharaohs would fain claim it from Noah through Ham, therefore my father was led away by their idolatry. Abraham chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Noah blessed this Pharaoh with blessings of the earth because he judged his people wisely and justly. He was a righteous man, and he intimated the order of his kingdom after the righteous order of Adam. In spite of all these virtuous qualities in the character of that Pharaoh, Noah still cursed him as pertaining to the priesthood. The explanation was that Pharaoh was of that lineage by which he could not have right of the priesthood. Segregation in this dispensation. God's efforts to segregate and gather the house of Israel have continued in this dispensation of the fullness of times. Joseph felt strongly about this and expressed his feelings to the saints on several occasions. For example, January 2, 1843, Joseph went to Mr. Sellers with Elder Hyde and Richards. Elder Hyde inquired about the situation of the Negro, and the prophet answered to him, "Had I anything to do with the Negro, I would confine them by strict law to their own species," meaning they shouldn't intermingle marriage-wise and have interbred, mixed children. That was Joseph Smith's opinion. And put on them a national, equalization, meaning he wanted them to be free people. He just didn't want them to intermingle sexually and have mixed race children. So I think that's what that means. Anyway, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 270. A year later, January 1844, the prophet, as mayor of Nauvoo, fined two Negroes for attempting to marry white women. Doctrinal History of the Church, volume 6, page 210. The prophet also explained, quote, that the curse is not yet taken off the sons of Canaan, neither will it be until it is affected by as great a power as caused it to come, and the people who interfere the least with the purposes of God in this matter will come under the least condemnation before him. Messenger and Advocate, volume 2, page 290, also see Doctrinal History of the Church, volume 2, page 438. So basically what he was saying is that the only way that God would take the curse off of the children of Canaan, or Cain, was for a prophet that was as great as Moses, or greater than Noah, to come and take the prophet, or take the curse off the people. Joseph Smith did not feel that he was as great as Noah, and he never tried to even take that curse away from those people. So here is evident that the curse is exemplified through a black skin, and that when that curse is removed, then the dark skin will be removed by as great a power as caused it to come. Also, a part of that curse was the restriction of the priesthood. Abraham O. Smoot inquired of the prophet Joseph Smith, what should be done with the Negro in the South as I was preaching to them? Joseph said I could baptize them by consent of their masters, but not to confer priesthood upon them. L. John Nuttall, Journal, May 31st, 1879. So, this was back in the 1840s, before the Civil War. So there was, there were slaves in the South. And he was just telling them, you can baptize them by consent of their masters, but not to confer the priesthood upon them. Details of this account are available from another source. Quote, Brother A.O. Smoot said W.W. Patton, Warren Parrish, and Thomas B. Marsh were laboring in the southern states in 1835 and 1836. There were Negroes who made application for baptism, and the question arose with them whether the Negroes are entitled to hold the priesthood. And by those brethren, it was decided that they would not confer the priesthood until they had consulted with Joseph Smith. And subsequently, they communicated with him. His decision, as I understood it, was they were not entitled to the priesthood, nor yet to be baptized without the consent of their masters. In years after, when I became acquainted with Joseph Smith myself in far west Missouri, about the year 1838, I received from Brother Joseph substantially the same instructions. It was on my application to him, what should be done with the Negroes in the South, as I was preaching to them. He said I could baptize them by consent of their masters, but not to confer the priesthood upon them. And quote, the church and the Negroid people, as quoted in Mormonism and the Negro by Stewart, page 11. I've never read that book. I don't know who Stewart is. You know, it drives me a little bit nuts that they had to go to the prophet to find out what God wanted to say about it, because God wants us all to be prophets, and we need to turn to him and get revelation from him and stop relying on Joseph Smith or any other man in authority, supposed authority, to receive revelation for us. Oh, here comes the big boy with his big Jake brakes on. You'll see him as he goes by me in the back, in my window in the back. It has been reported that a black man by the name of Elijah Abel was ordained to the priesthood by Zebedee Coltrane on March 3, 1836. John Taylor thought that perhaps Elijah had received the priesthood before the word of the Lord was fully understood, and that had been one of the mistakes of the early church history. See minutes of the Council of the Twelve, June 4th, 1879. There he goes. With his big old engine and his bajillion lights. And his buddy that follows him everywhere. Going by me there. I think my friend Jeff is going to laugh when he sees... Got to get this to stop. Just... Okay. All right, let's see. So that was given the Council of Minutes, August 26th, 1908, state that this ordination was declared null and void by the prophet himself. So, you know, they're getting some stuff from way after Joseph died, you know, during the Council of whatever, to say, well, I heard, or I was there when Joseph took the priesthood away from him. That's all hearsay as far as I know, and I don't know. I don't have revelation concerning it. I have prayed. I have asked God. This has been a topic that bothers me. And that's why I say I don't give priesthood to anybody unless God commands me to give it to them in a revelation. And I don't think priesthood should be given to anyone. It doesn't matter who they are, how old they are, whatever, unless God wants them to have it. So that's my opinion on the matter. And if I feel like somebody should have it, I will ask God for revelation on the subject. If I get it, great. If I don't, then no, I'm not. I don't give it out because it's not my priesthood to give out. So, God knows better than I do. Somebody could trick me. They ain't tricking God. Anyway, in 1879, Zebedee Coltrane related to the small group of priesthood leaders that Brother Joseph had told him in 1834 that the Spirit of the Lord saith the Negro has no right nor cannot hold the priesthood. Nuttall Journal 1, page 293. The Salt Lake Tribune reported in an October 26, 1970 article that the prophet Joseph Smith was commanded by God to withdraw the priesthood from Elijah Abel to revoke the ordination. So even though Elijah had only a very small percentage of Negro blood, he was still not supposed to have the priesthood. He was a mulatto. He looked white. Yeah, you wouldn't know that he had African descendants to look at him, apparently. So he did go on an LDS mission, speaking of Elijah Abel, in 1883, but there is no record of him performing any priesthood ordinance work. Brigham Young made this very forceful statement concerning the status of the black race in the priesthood. Quote, "We know there is a portion of inhabitants of the earth who dwell in Asia that are Negroes and said to be Jews. The blood of Judah has not only mingled almost with all nations, but also with the blood of Cain, and they have mingled their seeds together. These Negro Jews may keep up all the outer ordinances of the Jewish religion. They may have their sacrifices. They may perform all their religious ceremonies any people on earth could perform. But let me tell you that the day they consent to mingle their seed with Canaan, the priesthood was taken away from Judah, and that portion of Judah's seed will never get any rule or blessings of the priesthood until Cain gets it. But this church, which is called the Kingdom of God on the earth, we will summon the first presidency, the 12, the high council, and the bishopric, and all the elders of Israel. Suppose we summon them to appear here, that we declare it is our right to mingle our seed with the black race of Cain, that they shall come in with us and be partakers with us of all the blessings God has given to us. On that very day and hour, we should do so. The priesthood is taken from this church and kingdom, and God leaves us to our fate. The moment we consent to mingle with the seed of Cain, the church must go to destruction. We should receive the curse which has been placed upon the seed of Cain and nevermore be numbered with the children of Adam, who are heirs to the priesthood, until that curse be removed. What the Gentiles are doing, we are consenting to do. What we are trying to do today is to make the Negro equal with all of us in our privilege. My voice shall be against it all the day long. See, I don't believe Brigham Young was a prophet, but the LDS Church does. So, of course, they like to sweep all this stuff under the rug and say, oh, that was just Brigham in his time, and yeah, he was a massive racist and whatever. But, you know, they like try to say, no, he wasn't a prophet. But then they say, oh, but he was a prophet. But he was only a prophet when, like, he didn't have opinions about anything. Anyway, I shall not consent for one moment. I will call them a council. I say I will not consent for one moment for you to lay a plan to bring a curse upon this people. It shall not be while I am here. Brigham Young address, MSD 1234, Box 48, Folder 3, dated February 5th, 1852, located in the LDS Church Historical Department, Salt Lake City, Utah, also in the Teachings of Brigham Young by Fred Collier, pages 45 and 46. Brigham did state, however, that the time would come when blacks would have a chance to receive the priesthood. We're on page 206 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut, which you can read for free at Mormon or fundamentallymormon.com, which is my website, or ogdenkraut.com. You can read the whole book there. We're on page 206. When all the other children of Adam have had the privilege of receiving the priesthood and of coming into the kingdom of God and of being redeemed from the four quarters of the earth and having received their resurrection from the dead, then it will be enough time enough to remove the curse from Cain and his posterity. Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 142 and 143. They never can hold the priesthood or share in it until all of the other descendants of Adam have received the promises and enjoyed the blessings of the priesthood and the keys thereof. Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 290. That's Brigham Young speaking. When the residue of the family of Adam come up and receive their blessings, then the curse will be removed from the seed of Cain. Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 291. When all the rest of the children have received their blessings in the holy priesthood, then that curse will be removed from the seed of Cain. Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 272. Pressure from without and from within. For nearly 150 years, the LDS Church maintained the same position on blacks not being able to hold the priesthood, but outside pressures upon the church grew, and so did arguments both pro and con over the issue. In 1924, Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the church, noted that, quote, "The question arises from time to time in regard to the Negro race and the priesthood. It is true that the Negro race is barred from holding the priesthood, and this has always been the case. The prophet Joseph Smith taught this doctrine. Improvement Era, Volume 27, page 564. Civil rights became a big issue on October 5, 1963. An item appeared here in Deseret News which states that the NAACP would picket Temple Square on Saturday if the church did not present an acceptable statement on civil rights. Page 207. Mormon leaders apparently realized the bad publicity that would result from this kind of demonstration, so on October 6, 1963, Hugh B. Brown issued a very wise statement regarding civil rights and religious issues. Quote, "During recent months, both in Salt Lake City and across the nation, considerable interest has been expressed on the matter of civil rights. We would like it to be known that there is in this church no doctrine, belief, or practice that is intended to deny the enjoyment of full civilized rights by any person, regardless of race, color, or creed. We say again, as we have said many times before, that we believe that all men are the same of the same God, and that it is a moral evil for any person or groups of any persons to deny any human being the right to gainful employment, to full educational opportunity, and every privilege of citizenship, just as it is a moral evil to deny him of the right to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience." Deseret News, October 6, 1963. This was an outstanding announcement which should have been defended and explained more fully. First, the church did not believe or practice any form of denial of civil rights to any people. Second, the church, as well as anyone else, should have the right to worship according to the dictates of their conscience. If the NAACP, the government, or anyone else attempted to tell the Mormon Church they had to bestow, restrict, or prohibit the priesthood, then they were denying the church their right to worship. The church was in no way under an obligation to listen to civil clamor on how to practice their religion. Trying to fix this again here. Hopefully I can get it to work again. All right. I'm probably going to keep this to about an hour. I'm not exactly sure where we're at. Let me just see something real quick here. Yeah, we're about halfway through it. I'm probably going to just do this part. And I'll find a place to stop, and then I'll do a part two. Try to keep these around an hour long. So, in the area of sports, there seemed to be more activity outside the arena than inside. For example, in San Jose, California, a 24,000-student campus exhibited violence in the form of beatings, vandalism, and trash fires initiated by the United Black Students for Action to ensure cancellation of a football game with BYU because of their racist philosophy. End quote, Salt Lake Tribune, December 3, 1968. In Tucson, Arizona, students were asked the Western Athletic Conference to break ties with Brigham Young University because of their racial policies. Salt Lake Tribune, October 25th, 1969. Stanford University announced they would schedule no new athletic nor competitions with BYU. Salt Lake Tribune, November 13th, 1969. In 1974, the Boy Scouts organization pressed charges against the church because a 12-year-old black boy could not become a senior patrol leader, since one of the requirements was to be a deacon's quorum president, a position that he could not hold without having the priesthood. The church immediately changed the requirement just before their scheduled court appearance. And, like, that drives me nuts. Like, the LDS Church, like, when I was growing up, like, they own the Boy Scouts in Utah. In order for my son to go and do anything with the Scouts, he's got to go, like, with a bunch of Mormon kids, you know, and if he's not one of them, then they're going to discriminate against him. Like, why does the LDS Church got their claws so much in the Boy Scouts of America? Like, Scout leaders can be LDS, but it shouldn't be held in their churches. You know, when I was a kid, my friends, I had two friends that did not like to go to Scouts because it was held in the LDS Church, which church they did not belong to, and they felt very uncomfortable being in there. And those friends were discriminated against by the other Scouts. Like, keep Boy Scouts and the church segregated, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, continuing. The national news media pressured the church from without, and liberal Mormons pushed from within. Bruce R. McConkie tried to quell the liberals, quote, if I am valiant if I am deeply concerned about the church's stand on who can and who cannot receive the priesthood. Think it is time for a new revelation on this doctrine. Am I valiant if I engage in gambling, play cards, or go to pornographic movies? Play cards, really? That was Joseph F. Smith's problem. Like, the face cards were of the devil, right? Seriously? I don't even know what to say about some of these things. Anyway, that's Ensign, November 1974, page 35. On September 6th, 1977, I was 2 months old. President Spencer W. Kimball spoke to the BYU faculty and student body, stating that the gospel is made up of absolute truths that do not change regardless of contrary opinions or the beliefs of men. Deseret News, September 10th, 1977. Certainly the gospel doctrine of restricting blacks from the priesthood during mortality should be considered as one of those absolute truths. Bruce R. McConkie supported this position. Quote, Negroes in this life are denied the priesthood. Under no circumstances can they hold this delegation of authority from the Almighty. It is the Lord's doing and is based on eternal laws of justice and grows out of the lack of spiritual valiance of those concerned in their first estate. Mormon Doctrine, page 527 and 528. The 1978 announcement, and we're going to leave it at that point. We're into this 48 minutes, and I will make that a part two. Yeah, I'm going to make that where I begin tomorrow. So anyway, I need to get moving again so I can get home and take my nap before I have to come back out. And I'll do part two tomorrow sometime when I'm at the end of my shift. Thank you, everyone, for watching, and feel free to, you know, write in the comments your opinions on this stuff, and as part of the Fundamentally Mormon, I'm going to cover everything fundamental, whether I agree with it or not, and I'll read Ogden's books, and I'm not cutting anything out of that, even if I don't agree with them. So these were teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I do not believe that Brigham was a prophet. I think he took some things too far. But like I said, I'm not giving priesthood to anyone unless I know that God wants them to have it. I don't care if it's a man, woman, child, whatever. That's my stance. That's how I take it. I think it's wrong that people give priesthood to 12-year-old boys just because they turn 12 or 14-year-old or whatever. Like, it's like, well, we've got a handbook and we're going to follow the handbook, but we don't believe in continuous revelation, even though we say we do. So anyway, I hope that this radio program and this video came out pretty good. I guess I can take any phone calls. And I probably shouldn't take any phone calls because I know how people are, but let me see if we can pull up the studio here. Looks like we have a lot of listeners tonight, so. Let's see here. No, we don't have any phone calls. So, all right, well, I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm glad that we don't have any phone calls. I guess they're having problems with muting people right now. Anyway, we don't have any phone calls, so I'm going to just leave it at that. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to this program. And I'll be back on tomorrow, hopefully, with another episode of Fundamentally Mormon. And I'll see you then. Take care. God bless, everyone. Goodbye.